Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Matthew, the 19th chapter, "And behold, one came unto him and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Again in Matthew 4, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Now these two passages have something in common. Both of them relate an invitation from Christ to follow him. One was rejected, the other accepted. People usually appreciate invitations, don't they? Whether they can accept them or not, they appreciate them. Of course, there is constantly the invitation to sin. People often accept the wrong invitations and reject the right ones. One thing on which we can rely about the invitation of Christ, and that is it is absolutely right to accept it. It should be joyfully and thankfully accepted. The sentiment of Christ's invitation is expressed so completely in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The one who is invited must act. To ignore the invitation is to reject it. We are compelled to make a decision, friend, about Christ. The same thing is true with any invitation. Man is invited, but he is not driven to accept the invitation of Christ. God does not force us to come to Christ. If we come in an acceptable manner, we must come willingly. But the invitation does force us to either accept it or reject it. On this, there is no middle ground. Possibly you have seen or heard of a painting that represents the 20th verse of the book of Revelation, chapter 3. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now in this painting, the figure outside the door represents Christ knocking on the door of man's heart. One who saw the picture noted that there was no knob on the door. The artist explained that was intentionally left off because this was a door that can only be opened from the inside. And so it is with the acceptance of the invitation that Jesus Christ has extended. And this invitation is a universal one. It's not confined to one nation, or to just male or female, or to one race. All need to accept this invitation because all have sinned, Romans 3:23. The Lord doesn't want anybody to be lost, 2 Peter 3:9. And even though it is extended to all nations and preached to every creature, many reject it. But none are excluded from the opportunity to accept it and to come to Him. Acceptance of the invitation of Christ offers relief. Jesus said, "I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls." Man is burdened and heavy laden with a burden of sin that he cannot successfully carry. By the blood of Jesus Christ, man's sins can be washed away. We have peace with God through Christ, Romans 5:1. And the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4 and verse 7. But in spite of this, some reject his invitation. Now, acceptance brings responsibilities, and that's true with all invitations. For example, if you're invited to a dinner at someone's home, you have the responsibility to be on time and to be courteous and cheerful and appreciative and respectful. Acceptance is an easy burden. The yoke is light, certainly light compared to carrying the burden of sin. Acceptance of the Master's call means we assume duties as a Christian in our way of living, working, worshiping. Indeed, the best that we can offer is what is expected. Some reject the invitation because they don't want the duties that go with it. We have read of the rich young ruler who chose not to follow Christ. He was in many ways already a relatively good man. He was very sensitive to morality. He did not kill or steal or commit adultery. He honored his parents. He loved other people. But he lacked something yet. Being told to separate himself from his physical possessions and to give to the poor was more than he was willing to do. He had to remove the obstacles between himself and Christ. But for him, this was too much. And he rejected the invitation, and he went away sorrowful. Oh, yes, he wanted to follow, but he loved his material possessions more than he loved the Lord. And we can picture Christ standing alone as these two went their separate ways. Doubtless the heart of the Lord was pained because he loved his soul, but the man would not accept the invitation. And there have been many others since that time who have done a similar thing. Many of the Jews rejected the Lord's invitation. And some, even though they professed loyalty to the law of Moses, when Christ read it to them from the law and applied the passages to himself, they rejected him. Jesus saith unto them, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes." Matthew 21, verse 42. And Jesus was that rejected stone. "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." Peter preaching in Acts 4. And even though Christ had taught them, he loved them, he performed miracles in their presence that they might believe, doing nothing but good and showing kindness and mercy, still they rejected him. Oh, Christ so much wanted Jerusalem to receive him. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Matthew 23 and verse 37. But instead of accepting him, they were heard to cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" King Agrippa, he's one of the most pitiable of all who rejected the invitation. Paul had been arrested. He had been tried before the Jewish courts. He had to escape Jerusalem under guard to keep from being assassinated. And now he was in the Roman courts of Felix and of Festus. And eventually his case was heard by King Agrippa. But instead of a personal defense, Paul told of his conversion to Christ, and he preached Christ to all of those that were in the court. Festus accused Paul of being mad, but Paul denied that charge and asserted that Agrippa believed what he was preaching because of what the prophets had said. Agrippa knew that Jesus had done the very things the prophets had prophesied that the Messiah would do when he came. Agrippa even admitted that he was almost persuaded to be a Christian. But he rose from his seat and left the room as lost as he was when he had entered. He rejected the persuasion of Paul. And as far as the Bible record is concerned, he died out of Christ. And there are others, such as Felix, who wanted to wait for a more convenient season, like some who may hear these words today, and like many who have lived their lives and finished them, he finished it out of Christ. Many have heard the invitation, but rejected it to their eternal condemnation. But of course, there have been those who have accepted the invitation. We read about Peter and Andrew, who were busy in their occupation as fishermen, who left all and followed Christ when he invited them. There was James and John, who were busy mending their nets, but they left all of that to follow Christ when invited. We read of Saul of Tarsus, who's better known as the Apostle Paul. When Ananias told him, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," Paul said he was not disobedient. There's the man from Ethiopia who was taught by Philip. When the opportunity came for him to obey the gospel, he accepted the invitation and was baptized, going on his way rejoicing. Down through the years, there have been many who've heard the word, believed the word, heard the invitation to obey, and did obey. Even now, Jesus invites all who have not come to him to come, to be made whole and clean and to be justified before God, to live faithfully with the hope and assurance of heaven as their eternal home. When one considers all that God has done and all that Christ has done and the simple obedience that one must do, and he hears the tender call of Christ, "Come unto me," why does he not accept the Lord's invitation? Acceptance means heaven. Rejection means being lost in hell eternally. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.